Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn back over to the book of Esther, please. The book of Esther. I guess it was last Wednesday night, we began a message. And by the way, Brother Richard said something about my face being red a while ago. I promise you I've not been in a tanning bed. Amen. But I have been in the wind and I've been in the sun. And I'm a little bit fair complected. I burn pretty easily. And I just thought I'd let you know that tonight. I figured you needed to know. Amen. Esther, tonight we're looking at the scripture. It's a very familiar scripture, but God has made application to these days that we're in. Esther chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 13 and just recap just a little bit and then hopefully finish the message up tonight. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and," what's that next word? Deliverance. That's what we're going to talk about tonight in the message. The enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." Pray with me a moment. Father, I ask you to add your blessings to the reading of the Word of God. I ask you, Father, to help us tonight as we speak. And I pray, God, that you'd give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us tonight in this meeting. Thank you for this good gathering of people, our Father. I know tonight, Lord, there are many in our midst that are tired, but Lord, they're here. And I pray, dear God, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them. And Lord, that this midweek meeting would be a time of refreshing. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, Amen. We were looking at this time, such a time as this, and we started the message off and we were talking about it was a time of despair, a time of deceit. It was a time of disobedience. We traced last Wednesday night that disobedience all the way back to King Saul when he did not completely do what God had asked him to do as far as the Agagites were concerned. And we saw that Haman was one of those. And then we talked about it was a time of decision on Sunday night. We talked about how that Esther had to make a choice. And that choice, even if it cost her life, she was going to do the right thing. It reminds me much of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They made a choice. They said, "Be it known unto thee, O king, that our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not bow to your image." Amen. They were going to do the right thing, whether God delivered them or not, whether they perished or not. They were going to do the right thing. Destruction has come upon, it's been pronounced upon God's people, the Jew. Mordecai was a man of faith. Mordecai was a humble man. Mordecai in the story is going to be exalted. Haman was the man we looked at Sunday night that was full of pride. And we'll see a little bit more of that tonight. But he was abased. And the Bible teaches that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I think there's a way tonight that you can say this and it be good. I'm proud to be an American. I think you can say that in a way that it's not the kind of pride that the Bible's talking about that goes before destruction. I'm proud of my heritage. When I was a kid, I didn't have enough sense to know how blessed that I was. We were poor, very poor. And yet my dad did such a great job raising six children and my mom and getting us through school and teaching us some things about life. But I believe tonight that as we look at this last thing, it's a time of deliverance. I think there's also a pride that is dangerous. If America, if you say you're proud to be an American, but if America or any family or any individual gets too big for their britches, so to speak, and thinks that they can do without God, and by the way, beloved, there are churches that have thought the same thing. The Bible talked about Laodicea. We're rich, we're increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. I heard Brother Don part of his prayer a while ago. I know he wasn't talking to me, but I believe he was asking God for revival and telling God that we need an awakening. We need a stirring in our country. Amen. And I believe that to be the truth. The Word of God said here, Mordecai in verse number 7, told of all that had happened unto him and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. And so, beloved, the decree has been made, and it looks like the Jews are in big trouble. It was a time in verse number 5, in chapter number 5, rather, to draw near. You remember that Esther said that she would, so Esther drew near in verse number 2 and touched the top of the scepter. And I think that is very important as well. What we're going to see in the story tonight is that Haman is doomed, but Mordecai is delivered. You know, the world today is still divided into two groups of people, those that are going to be doomed and those that are going to be delivered. And I believe with all of my heart, as we look at this deliverance tonight, that it should excite us tonight for us to realize that as bad as things are in the world, beloved, listen, God's people have a great day ahead of them. And we have the time of His coming. The Word of God, when John in the Revelation saw the Lord, he saw the churches, he saw the time of Jacob's trouble, he saw the marriage of the Lamb, he saw the great white throne judgment. And when he gets down to the end of the book, he cries, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." With all that he had seen, he thought the best thing that could happen would be for Jesus to come again. I was thinking of little Sawyer as I mowed the grass today, thinking about Olivia, thinking about right now, if Jesus were to come. I don't believe they're saved, but I believe they're safe. Do y'all understand what I just said? And so the Lord knows when He's coming. And that time of deliverance ought to be a thrill in every one of our heart, in every one of our lives. I want you to see something tonight. First thing I want you to see that this deliverance is initiated by the king. You say, "Pastor, I don't know what you mean." Well, God's working in this. And, of course, Mordecai, he understands that Haman hates him. He understands that the Jews are in trouble. But he also, beloved, understood that it was out of his hands. You say, "Pastor, why do you know that? Why are they fasting? Why are they praying? Why are they getting a hold of God? Because they know that what they need is bigger than what they have and bigger than what they can do. And I believe tonight that's a good place for God's people to be, to know that what we need is bigger than what we're able to produce and what we're able to do. I want you to see how it's initiated. Look in verse 1 of chapter number 6. The Bible said, on that night could not the king sleep. Would somebody tell me tonight who took the sleep from the king? Glory to God. I'll tell you who took the sleep from the king. The king took the sleep from the king. Amen. And the word of God said he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles. They were read before the king. And they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana, a Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Listen, I love the story, don't you? I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Here's the guy that wants to destroy the Jews. He happens to be in the court. And God is going to honor Mordecai for that that he has done. But let me say this to you. Don't forget this. God is not unrighteous to forget your work of faith and your labor of love. There's coming a day, beloved, when he will honor our service as his people. He will honor what we've done in his blessed name. And the word of God is teaching us here that Haman, he was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man that the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, here's a man full of pride. Who else could the king be talking about but me? So let me stack this up real good. What shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let his apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes. They may array the man with all whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street to the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. Then the king, here's the man's fixing to get his bubble busted. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai. I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven. Amen. And God is trying to help us to see tonight. Listen, it may be a time when it looks like it's hopeless. There may be a time when it looks like we're under and we're not going anywhere. But God said there's deliverance for those that will trust in him. And he took the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street. Thus shall it be done to the man whom the delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning and his head covered. I want you to know tonight, beloved, listen, that it was a time of deliverance. Not only, beloved, was God going to deliver the Jews from the death and the destruction, but God was going to deliver Mordecai, and he was going to promote him, beloved, in the land. It was a time of great deliverance. If you'll look with me tonight, I want you to see that in verse number 1 of chapter 7, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? It shall be granted thee. What is thy request? It shall be performed even to half of the kingdom. There's something I want to get at here. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight. How many of you all realize that as children of God tonight, we have found favor in his sight? I want you to know that tonight, beloved. Listen. And he said, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen or bondwomen, I'd held my peace, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, I want you to get a hold of this tonight. You talk about courage. You talk about, beloved, listen, the grace of God. Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this, I want you to look at this adjective, wicked Haman. Beloved, she laid it all on the line right there. I'm glad we're living in a land today where there's some people that's still willing to call wickedness, wickedness. And beloved, listen, it doesn't matter if a law is passed, amen, that says it's all right, it's acceptable in society. If it's wicked, it's wicked. A young couple told me Sunday they were engaged to be married. Thank God. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But the Word of God said, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I like this Esther. She said, listen, he's standing right there. This wicked Haman, amen. She's not afraid, and deliverance is going to come. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, one of the reasons we're not seeing more deliverance in the land today than what we're seeing is because people are afraid to call a spade, and call wickedness, wickedness, amen. And I believe with all of my heart, then Haman was afraid before the king. I thought about this today as I looked at this and studied it over again. Listen to me. There's people today, they're so full of themselves. They've got a bank account that's full. They've got prestige and they've got power. They've got prominence in this world. But I'm telling you, you listen to me and hear me well, there's coming a day when they're going to be afraid before the king. I'm telling you, they're going to stand before God and the ground's going to be level. The dead, the Bible said, both small and great are going to be called up before that great white throne. And there are going to be many that are going to be afraid before the king. Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? When I stand before God, I'm going to tell him. When I stand before God, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to tell you what, we're not even going to stand before God. Our lees will melt. Say amen. I believe we'll bow at his feet. Those of us that are born again, saved by the grace of God, we're going to bow to worship him. But beloved, those others are going to bow to confess him. And beloved, listen, it's too late then. They're going to be full of fear, the Bible said. But the fearful and the abominable, beloved, they're not going to enter in to the kingdom of God. And so we see Mordecai is delivered. The Jews are delivered. But this wicked Haman, he's prepared a gallows for Mordecai. And he's going to hang on it himself. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, he went into the palace garden. Can you imagine, beloved, listen, the anger. Listen, a lot of people don't even, I'm making a parallel here between King Ahasuerus and the God of heaven. The Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. We live in a world that wants to hear about the mercy and the love and the grace, and I do too. But I'm going to tell you something. We live in a world that knows nothing of Jesus going in that temple and throwing them tables over and saying, my Father's house is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Amen. Beloved, both are right. And we're not preaching the whole counsel of God if we don't understand that and we don't preach that. The Word of God said here, she stood up. Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther. He knows he's in trouble, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Watch this. the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace, the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also he reminds the king something. The king may not even have known it, but he said this, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. Amen. And the Bible said, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So Haman is doomed, but Mordecai is delivered. Let me say this to you tonight. I want to touch on this and then get more into the deliverance part of the message. Turn over, if you will, to chapter 9. Listen, this is a thought that ought to bear in our hearts and bear in our minds. Listen, not only was Haman doomed, but I want you to see in verse number, let's read verse 13 and 14 of chapter 9. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the word of God said, and the king commanded it so to be done. And the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. You've got a jealous dad. A dad that's full of pride. A dad that's full of anger at Mordecai because Mordecai will not bow to him in the king's gate. But listen, it's not just that jealous dad that's going down and that proud dad that's going down. There's 10 young'uns. Oh, listen to me. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. And I believe with all of my heart that ought to speak to our hearts, beloved, as to how we live and how we walk. And listen, if you don't know Jesus tonight, beloved, listen, you may not be the only one affected by your rejection of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so tonight, let's look just a little bit at this deliverance. It was a time of deliverance. And I appreciate so much what God has done in Mordecai's life and Esther's life and in the life of the Jews. I love this. One of the things about this story that really thrills me, it's pretty evident to me that Mordecai had a strong faith. Listen to me. He said to Esther, you remember early on, he said, we're going to need you to go in before the king. But if you don't, God will raise up deliverance. Are you listening to me tonight? I believe that man had such faith that he believed the promises that were made to Abraham, the promises that were made to Jacob. And I believe that he was not willing to bend or bow. He said, deliverance is coming. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know how it's coming. I don't know where it's coming from. But I know that deliverance is coming. You and I have a book. We know deliverance is coming. We know how it's coming. We just don't know when it's coming. Say amen. You say, Pastor, I've already been delivered. Part of us has. Amen. Listen, we're just two-thirds saved. The soul and the spirit's been saved. This flesh is still in a battle. But thank God that redemption of the body is what we're waiting on. Amen. And we'll be like him, be in his presence. We know that God has promised us deliverance. We don't know when, but thank God we do know it's coming. I want you to see this tonight. Look over at verse 15 and 16 and 17 with me in chapter number 8. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. I believe this. I don't believe Mordecai. I don't believe he could even envision where he was going to end up in this story. I believe that what you and I are fixing to experience as the children of God when the Lord comes and takes us home. I believe, listen, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. But the next verse said they're revealed unto us by his Spirit. But I tell you, I believe, listen, the best we can study, Brother Don, the best we can understand the Word of God, I believe we'll get there and we'll say something like this: the half was not told. Amen. We try our best to talk about heaven. We try our best to talk about that time of deliverance. But it's going to be better than you can ever imagine. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be for the children of God. I want you to notice this now. The Word of God said this, and I think it's important to see this tonight. Not only were the Jews happy about what had transpired, but those in the city of Shushan, the Word of God said, rejoiced and was glad. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're in a sad shape if you can't rejoice and be glad at someone else's deliverance. Say amen. And the Word of God said in the next verse, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Oh, you just wait, beloved. Listen, we're headed somewhere. We're God's people. We belong to him. And beloved, listen, we have the light. We have that gladness. We have that joy. And we have that honor. We have a place that we're invited. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Here comes in the presence of the King, royal apparel, blue and white. Blue. I looked this up. I knew that blue was kind of representative in the Scripture of heaven, but it's also representative of royalty, and it's also representative of riches. I want you to think about that tonight. You know, say, Pastor, now how in the world would riches apply to God's people? Listen to what I'm about to quote, if I can get it right. It's over, I believe, in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord, how that he, let's see, he was, oh, I thought I had it, amen. He was, I'm going to have to turn over there. Hey, pardon? Yeah, he was rich. For our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. I believe if that's right. Amen? But listen tonight. Listen, God's people are not paupers. Amen? I want you to know tonight, listen, it doesn't matter what number's on the bank account. We have a God in heaven. Amen. And we have that royal garment tonight, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're his youngins tonight. We ought to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. The Word of God said in verse number 17, and in every province, in every city, wheresoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness. Let me say this to you tonight. Just a few days earlier, they didn't even know if they were going to live. And now they've been delivered. And they have joy. And they have gladness. I believe people are looking at each other saying, ain't this something? Look how God has done this. Look how God has turned this around. You know what? We're despised in this world that we live in. But I tell you, I serve a Father that's fixing to turn it around. Amen. Thank God that he is. The Word of God said here, they had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. I believe the day that when Jesus comes, it's not going to just be a good day. I believe it's going to be the best day. It's going to be an endless day, because there's no night where you and I are going. The Word of God said here, a feast and a good day, and many of the people, I want you to see this. I don't know, I've read over this, I guess I just didn't see it. But many of the people of the land became Jews. There were conversions. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible said, for many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. I tell you, there was a time in America when there was reverence for the house of God. There was a time in America when it meant something. There were people, I'm talking about sinner folks. I'll just say it. Sinner folks and at one time in America showed more reverence than a lot of people that named the name of Christ for the house of God and the things of God. And I believe it's important tonight as we think about our deliverance. One more thing I want to call your attention to tonight, and I'll be finished. This really just blessed my heart. If you go over to chapter 10, it's only three little verses there. I'll read it, but then I'll make a comment or two on that last verse. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai. You know, I know what the Bible says here, but I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't believe Mordecai missed it, and I don't think we should either. It was not so much the greatness of Mordecai as it was the greatness of Mordecai's God. When they fasted and they prayed, God, if you don't do something, we're doomed. And God turned it right around and delivered those that were doomed, and those that were seemingly delivered then hung on the same gallows. Look what the Bible said here. Whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? And I want you to see verse 3. This tells me again, beloved, that Mordecai, some people, surely you all have seen this on the job. I'm sorry to say it, but I've seen it sometimes in the ministry. Some people, if they're elevated just a little bit, they're given a position. I mean, from the pulpit to the pew. I mean, some people can't handle it. It goes to their head. I want you to know something tonight, and I don't want you to miss this. Standing here don't go to my head. It goes to my heart. I know what I deserve. I know where I would be apart from the grace of God. I know that I don't deserve to be saved, to be standing here, to be preaching this precious old book. And I believe Mordecai did not let this advancement of the king, did not let the royal apparel go to his head. You say, Pastor, why do you think that? Read with me. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus. Now, buddy, that's pretty good promotion, ain't it? Watch this. And great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren. I want you to notice what the Bible said. Seeking the wealth of his people. Don't miss that. Mordecai is where he is, and he's not changed. When Mordecai sent the note into Esther, he was seeking the wealth of his people. He didn't know whether he was going to live or die. Now he's been promoted. He's got the royal garments on. Beloved, listen, he's next to the king, and he's still concerned about others. I love that. I love that. It did not go to his head. It went to his heart. Watch what the Bible said. Seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. Mordecai was concerned about two things. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about his nation. May God raise up some people in America that are concerned about their nation. And then he was concerned about his family, his seed. Think about that. Some men, you promote them, they forget about their nation. All they think about is that fell in the mirror. Brother Preston, some forget about their family. Amen. I read an illustration. I won't get this exactly right, but I'll get the gist of it. It was about a man in the ministry and his son and two diaries about the same day. Brother Rick, you'll enjoy this. The man's son played ball, and the man wrote in his diary that it was a wasted day. He had taken off from the ministry, so to speak, and just went and watched a ball game where his son was playing. When you read his son's diary, said, "Daddy came to my game today. Said it was the best day of my life." You say, "Pastor, how does that fit with Mordecai?" I believe he had things right, don't you? I believe his priorities were right. They were about others. Others. I've said this before, and I'm done tonight, or finished, whatever you want to call it. But I've said this before. Joy is spelled J-O-Y. That J is Jesus. That goes on the front. That O is others, and that Y is yourself. And we're living in a world, I'm not being critical, I'm just telling you the truth. We're living in a world where a lot of people have no joy because it's spelled Yaj. They're first, then others, and if there's anything left over, that's for Jesus. It'll never work that way, amen. I believe Mordecai had it right. No wonder there was great gladness in Shushan. No wonder God's people were rejoicing in their deliverance. I'm just glad you come tonight.